Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through this great season of Advent. I hope you had some time in the last week or two, and as we get closer to Christmas, not only to shop and to get organized. This is a very busy and challenging time of the year for many people, pretty much anybody. Everybody's plate is full, I'm sure. But I want to encourage you to take time to be alone with the Lord. You know, go to church. Maybe there's a Eucharistic chapel near you where you can sit and just be with the Lord. And think about some of the things we've been talking about on the radio program here, and take up God's Word, take up the daily readings, take up, you know, parts of the catechism that we've been looking at, for example, paragraphs 678, 679, that talk about the return of the Lord and the judgment of the Lord. And read John's Gospel, maybe chapter 5, where Jesus talks about how the Father has given him judgment over everything and how he's also given him power to give life to whomever he chooses. There's just so much there, and it's important for us to not let these seasons go by, but to draw out of them with the help of the Holy Spirit what the church is hoping to lead us into, which is to align ourselves with God's purpose, God's plan, to allow the Holy Spirit, the truth the church brings us in Scripture, to touch our minds, to enlighten our minds, so we can make sure we're keeping first things first. And in this is a season of being called to a posture of readiness, of waiting, of watching. And so it's easy in this culture that we live in that moves so fast, and we have a constant data barrage that we have to push back every single day, things that are clamoring for and reaching into, you know, our minds, trying to captivate our imagination, trying to captivate the energy of our lives to get, ultimately, lots of people want to get their hands in our pockets and distract us enough by what they have in order to make money off our attention. One of the things we need to do is to push that back in a season like this and to try to find space, try to find silence so we can let God's Word enter our hearts. Jesus said, the key in walking with Him is to abide in Him. Abiding is a way of obeying God, but it's a way of finding room each day, every day, to have Jesus at the center of our lives, to have Him to be present to the Lord each day. So it's a way of walking in conversation with Him, talking with Him, listening to the promptings and life of the words of the Holy Spirit to us. It's a way of remembering His promises, of walking in them. I'm with you always till the end of the age. Jesus said, in this life you'll have trials, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I formed you in the palm of my hand. You are mine. Take delight in the Lord, and He will grant you the desires of your heart. The Scripture is literally full of thousands of promises. That's God speaking to us. You know, some people will say on occasion, you know, God doesn't speak to me. I never hear God. Well, the place to start is to take up God's Word and to internalize the promises that are spoken to us, because they're for each and every one of us. Remember, Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI said, this word is a living word from the heart of God to the heart of the one who is listening. And we're meant to take these words in and to chew on them and suck the juices out of them. We can't be like a stone skipping across the water, like we just touch little dimensions of God's word. We hear a little bit on Sunday Mass. We might hear a little bit here or there. We have to have moments, really each day, but certainly each week, especially in a season like this, where we let the stone drop and go deep into our heart, rather than just let it skipping across the top of the water, to let it penetrate our hearts so the Holy Spirit can lay hold of us and form us and shape us and help align our lives toward God's purpose, which is also a part of abiding in the Lord, following Jesus' leadership. And if we don't know what Jesus is saying, what He's calling us to, what He's made us for, how He's calling us and wants to help us respond to Him, it's going to be difficult to follow His leadership. Well, yesterday I left off in paragraph 679 of the Catechism, talking about the judgment themes. This is part of the season of Advent, because we're reflecting again on the two comings of the Lord. His first time, you know, when He's born of a woman, the Incarnation. We celebrate with Christmas God's great gift of salvation coming to us in His Son. But we also keep an eye on the return of the Lord. And paragraph 679 reads this way, Christ is Lord of eternal life. Full right to pass definitive judgment on the works and the hearts of men belongs to Him as Redeemer of the world. He acquired this right by the cross. And the Father has given all judgment to the Son. Yet the Son did not come to judge, but to save, and to give the life he has in himself. By rejecting grace in this life, one already judges oneself and receives according to one's works, and can even condemn oneself for all eternity by rejecting the spirit of love. Again, there's just so much in that paragraph. And first it says, you know, Christ is Lord of eternal life. And it's important for us to see and grasp the entire uniqueness of Jesus. We're living at a time, friends, that even some voices within the church, even some scholars in the church, even some clergy in the church, somehow believe that their job is to unite the world, to bring everybody together in unity, in a big family. Now, that's a noble idea, on a certain level. But it can't be done without the grace of God. And there is no ultimate revelation of the grace of God without the revelation of the person of Jesus, who is God's ultimate message of love. He's the only one that has the power to bring about that unity, and there will never be that unity without repentance and unity in Jesus. And the reason I'm saying this is that some leaders seem to think that to focus on Jesus, to speak about Jesus the way the catechism does or the way the scripture does, is too divisive. That there's different paths to God. There's obviously different religions. There's lots of people in the world now that claim to be atheists. So many, many people don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus. And so in order to make people, to sort of pave the way, to make it easier for people to have a kind of unity, some leaders diminish the absolute uniqueness and the claims of Jesus, that he's Lord of all, that there's no religious leader like him anywhere ever or ever will be. Every other religious leader, no matter how wise, no matter how good, and yes, could have had some dimension of light. I'm not saying, certainly doesn't have saving capacity of light. The church is very clear about that. Jesus is God's unique Son. All power and authority in heaven and earth belong to him. And in this season, we hear from the preaching of the church and the catechism and scripture with great clarity that what humanity needs more than anything is the Christ life, not the Buddha life, not the Muhammad life, not the worldly life. It's the Christ life. Christ is the only one who can transmit and give to human beings what we most need, the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. As the apostle and Apostle John said in the first chapter, he gave us power to become children of God. Who goes to heaven? Who lives for eternity? Children of God. Is everybody automatically in that position? No. We all were born into a condition of alienation from God. And we need the life of God to be the children of God. We bear God's image, but we're a fallen, rebellious people and race. Jesus comes by the mercy and love of God the Father, our Father. He comes to seek and save the lost. And who is that? That's you and that's me. He's the great physician. He's the only one who can heal the sin-sick condition of the human heart. So the strategy of some, it's kind of utopian in its mind and its worldview. The idea that we're going to fix the world and we're going to unite the world, like the UN or something, is going to unite the world. It's silly. It won't happen. Does the UN have a mission in the world? Yes, sure. But it cannot solve the problem that's the source of all the division and all the corruption in the UN itself, because the problem's in the human heart. And only Jesus will bring that unity. And it's so clear from the catechism, from the scripture, that that unity includes, and the only way it's going to come about, is when human hearts bend their knee to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, It's this beautiful prayer. He wants everyone, he's praying that everyone could get a revelation of who Jesus is and his majesty and his power and his glory, that we would have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of power in us who believe, according to the work of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. It's Jesus who has been seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that's named. It's so crucial, friends, for us to get this and to understand it and to know it and to believe it. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Muhammad is not the hope of the world. Buddha is not the hope of the world. Our political leaders, the financial kings of this day, you know, the super companies, whatever it is, the philosophers in the world, there's one hope for the world, and it's God's Son who made it all and for whom it's all been made. Everything else falls short because it cannot give. It's all fallen from glory. Anything that's ultimately man created and sort of originates with man's own wisdom and own light and not the light that comes from God will fall short. It may have some good to it, sure, but it's not enough. And the diminishing of the person of Jesus is a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake. In brief, this section of the catechism that follows the one I'm reading, just like summary statements at the end of this section of the catechism, 680 paragraph, says, Christ the Lord already reigns through the church, but all the things of this world are not yet subjected to him. The triumph of Christ's kingdom will not come about without one last assault by the powers of evil. Guess what? Satan is still the ruler of this world in many places in the world. And the scripture is clear that before Jesus returns, there will be an all-out assault on the church and on humanity by Satan and the Antichrist. And many people will end up falling away from the church, will be seduced by him. And guess what? Many of the world's great powers will serve him. So the church needs to keep clear on the discernment. And so any spirit or any leadership which denies that Jesus came in the flesh, denies to Jesus what belongs to him in his kingship and lordship over all the human race, is the spirit of Antichrist, St. John the Apostle said. So we have to have discernment. We have to be clear. Paragraph 681, on Judgment Day at the end of the world, Christ will come in glory to achieve the definitive triumph of good over evil, which, like the wheat and the tares, have grown up together in the course of history. Paragraph 682, when he comes at the end of time to judge the living and the dead, the glorious Christ will reveal the secret disposition of hearts and will render to each man according to his works and according to his acceptance or refusal of grace. I'll leave it there, friends. Tune in again tomorrow. We're going to continue to take up this theme, especially this last sentence. God has much more for us in this wonderful season. I hope you can join me.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.